It certainly didn't feel like the reports were that negative for the grain markets, which means, yeah, the rains in the eastern belt today and the forecast that got a bit wetter for the week ahead. That's what turned this week's steady to higher price action into a steady to lower close. The funds have got to love the high range open and low range close on the weekly chart in new crop corn.
Live from Report Day Friday via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. And in the final segment of the week, I will update you the Friday Farm News and Fertilizer Report. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, we're going to get to all the details of the USDA supply and demand report. We've got the wheat crop production estimate. It was the first survey base for the spring wheat crop. So we'll get into some of those details. But I tell you what, these low-range closes on the weekly charts, well, and on the daily charts, but on the weekly charts in new crop corn, new crop soybeans, that was a discouraging way to wrap up this week. If you will remember early in the first hour of AgriTalk, I was like, boy, you know what? This market is kind of set up. If the heat stays in and they don't get too wet in the forecast, and if we don't kill it with a big negative number from somewhere in the supply and demand or production reports, this could be one of those exciting closes. It's kind of the opposite of what I was hoping we would see today. Instead, they put some rain into it. Really wasn't anything hugely negative in the supply and demand for either corn or soybeans, but that bean carryover, the old crop bean carryover, there's maybe some hijinks going on there that I didn't really think were necessary. We'll talk about that with Naomi.
Hijinks, you say?
Well, yeah, I don't like it. I mean, the...
Them's fighting words.
The June 1 quarterly grain stocks report, my opinion, didn't justify or didn't suggest the need for the action that they took on the old crop bean balance sheet. Now I've talked to a couple of others about it and they're like, no, the data is there. And when you project usage out into the fourth quarter and everything, yes, they have underestimated the 2019 bean crop and they had to reflect it somehow, some way. So they cut the usage. I don't know if they had to do that yet. We'll see what Naomi thinks. Okay.
Well, that's a good idea.
And we'll get to the details of that coming up here in just a second. All right, man, what was moving them around?
Well, Chip, the first survey-based estimate of spring wheat production lined up with trade expectations. The 550.2 million bushel crop estimate was just 4.2 million bushels above the average pre-report trade estimate. Mm-hmm. However, the update to the winter wheat crop resulted in a 48 million bushel drop from last month's estimate, and the crop estimate at 1.824 billion bushels was 24 million bushels below the average pre-report trade estimate. The estimate for hard red winter wheat was down 33 million bushels from last month. Soft red wheat production is estimated down 22 million from last month. And the white winter wheat estimate inched up 2 million bushels from June. September hard red winter wheat was 4¾ cents lower, 452. September soft red jumped 9 cents to 534. September spring wheat, unchanged, 526 even, Chip.
Okay, that jump in the SRW, that's got to have something to do with the lower French wheat crop estimates that are out there, the cuts to the Black Sea supplies coming out. And this morning, we actually had wheat export sales. Now, it wasn't for soft red, but they did announce 130,000 metric tons of hard red winter wheat for delivery to China in the current marketing year, 190,000 metric tons of hard red spring wheat for delivery to China in the current marketing year. So got some help out from the demand side too.
Well, Chip, old crop corn carryover is now estimated at 2.248 billion bushels, up 145 million bushels from last month. On the new crop balance sheet, the cut to planted acres revealed at the end of June resulted in an 850 million bushel drop in total supplies from last month's estimates. Total demand was cut 175 million bushels for the 2020 and 21 marketing year. That resulted in a one-month 675 million bushel drop in the carryover projection. September corn futures 11.5 cents lower, 337.25. December corn dropped 12.25, 344.75. March corn closed at 355, down 11.75 cents. Clear up the clarity on that, would you, Chip?
Well, Goodell really did a nice job setting us up yesterday with the numbers that he presented. Worked out really well there. And the cut to the supply side, we can talk about that, but we knew that that was coming because of the cut to the acres. If you take 850 million bushels out of the supply side, you're not just going to take that off the bottom line. You're going to make some cuts to expected demand going forward to kind of offset that. So, you know, it looked like a reasonable report on the new crop side to me.
Old crop soybean carryover was put at 620 million bushels. That's up 35 million bushels from last month and about 20 million bushels above the average pre-report trade guess. Estimated old crop crush was upped 15 million bushels, but estimated residual use was cut 50 million bushels to an estimated negative 46 million bushels. Jeez. On the new crop, total supplies were increased 45 million bushels and total use was increased 15 million bushels, resulting in the 30 million bushel increase in estimated soybean carryover. Right. August soybean futures 9.25 cents lower, 887.25. September beans fell 9.75 cents to 885.5. Novi bean futures closed at 890.75, down 10.75 cents, Chip.
So we've got another negative usage estimate in the soybean balance sheet. It's the second one that I can remember.
Okay.
And what it is when you have a negative usage number, what it effectively does is it adds to your total supply. All right?
Okay.
So it's a usage category, but it adds to your total supply. What it means is the World Ag Outlook Board believes that the 2019 bean crop was underestimated by about 50 million bushels.
USDA increased estimated old crop cotton exports by 200,000 bales, dropping carryover by that amount to 7.1 million. New crop carryover was slashed 1.2 million bales from last month to 6.8 million. October cotton was 37 points higher, 64.17. December cotton gained 42 ticks, 64.31. And on the livestock side, August live cattle futures were 75 cents higher at 100 bucks even. And December cattle jumped 95 cents to 108.40. August feeders gained 122.5 to 135.70. August lean hogs 35 cents lower, 49.87.5. And December hogs fell 82.5 to 51.77.5, Chip.
All right, very good. Let's take a quick look at these weekly changes. September corn on the week down 6.25 cents. D's corn down 8.75 cents. August soybeans down 4 cents. Novi beans down 6 cents. September soft red winter wheat futures up 42 cents. September hard red up 18 cents. And September spring up 15.75. August live cattle up 60 cents. August feeder cattle up 87.5 cents. And August lean hog futures, hey, they came along up 67.5 cents. We're going to talk with Naomi next.
The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk. AgriTalk! AgriTalk!
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Lorre. Davis is with us. Davis, end of the show.
Yes.
You've got the Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report, right?
I really do. Distillate supplies are blowing my mind this week, and I'm just going to leave that there. We'll talk about it
all
more
right.
then. But we got something to talk about. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you are too.
I am. Let's bring in Naomi Bloom, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Naomi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Chip?
Well, I've been better. I have been better. I will admit, I'm already feeling the withdrawal of an Iowa-Iowa State football game this September.
I know it. I know it. I still have my garden flag ready to go, though. I'm going to cheer on those Cyclones in spirit. You bet.
Yeah, you know, with everything that is going on and the adjustments to some of the football seasons and everybody wondering if we're going to get students back in the classroom, stuff like that, the recovery from the low that we've seen during the COVID quarter is still impressive, but it's never been more threatened than it is right now, in my opinion, Naomi.
Oh, I agree. COVID 2.0 could be coming out in full force soon. Of course, getting kids back into the classroom is paramount, but then if they keep students at home, of course, that affects fuel demand. That, of course, affects ethanol. The fear is that if we go back under lockdown, does the whole economy respond like it did before? And then everything price-wise crumbles out of fear. So we are keeping an eye on that. If only there was a put option you could buy specifically for COVID, then you could protect yourself that way.
Well, yeah, you know, that you make a good point, and you would think that you ought to be able to get something in the stock indices that would give you that downside protection. But with the way that the stocks are trading through all of this, it's like they don't care. As long as the Fed keeps dumping money into it, it looks like stocks are going to keep going up. I mean, the Dow right now is up another 350 points. And
isn't that astonishing? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It really is.
And then it'll be interesting to see how the dollar eventually coincides with all of it. You know, with all of the money that the Feds are pumping in, does the dollar eventually fade lower like it did, years ago when we had the other recession going? That lower dollar, of course, would be so valuable for our commodities. So there is a lot to be monitoring in the weeks and months ahead.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, I tell you what, looking at the numbers that we got for corn today from USDA, which I felt like the trade did a really nice job anticipating, but it sure wouldn't have justified a dime-plus drop in corn prices like we saw today. So we traded it for a little bit, got it factored in, and then the focus was right back on weather. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I would agree 100%. So even coming into this morning, the market was already focused more on the fact that the trade forecasts for the weather were mixed again. All of the agreement on hot and dry is suddenly gone, and when the market has question like that, it's not enough to keep a weather premium in the market. So we saw prices set back, and even blew off that awesome Chinese corn purchase this morning, and instead just wants to focus on the weather. Because when you look at where the ending stocks are, assuming trendline yield, 2.6 billion bushel carryout is still quite sufficient. And so I think the marketplace is looking at it. It's a heck of a lot better than that 3.3 billion that we were looking at just over a month ago. But it still boils down to weather. And I think how we open and trade on Sunday night is solely dependent on that weather forecast. If they come back in and the weather forecasts are agreeing that the hot and dry weather is coming back in, then the market is going to have a nice bounce off of these support levels. We tested some moving averages on those daily charts. I think we spring higher. And then at the same time, if everybody's agreeing it's going to be pleasant and timely rain, our seasonal slide probably begins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That export sale that you mentioned, the biggest one-day sale announcement of corn to China since 1994, the total was 1.365 million metric tons. Of that, 765,000 metric tons for delivery in the current marketing year, which I thought was a good number, and 600,000 for delivery in the 2020-21 marketing year. The corn auction, the action at the corn auctions in China of their state-owned reserves, yesterday, Davis, I hope you remember this, but yesterday I said something about, doggone it, the way that they're going through the corn at those corn auctions, it wouldn't surprise me if we see at least a token sale of U.S. corn to China in the very near term. I did not anticipate 1.365 million ton Naomi.
Right. I mean, that's almost 54 million bushels. Amazing
yes.
number. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel, in the current environment, though, it doesn't feel like that was enough to change attitudes. That obviously wasn't with the way that the market acted. But you come back in and get some follow-up buys next week, then it could start to have an impact.
Oh, for sure. And, you yeah. know, it is actually that it was the seventh week that China had offered corn for sale at their auction, and it got gobbled up right away. And I read this morning that since May 28th, they had sold 28 million metric tons of corn. So we had a nice sale today of 1.3 million, yeah. and they just got rid of 28 million. So that really says about the demand for corn over there for feed as they're rebuilding their hog herd. And now I don't know if you had a chance to really see or hear about the extreme rainfall happening in southern China. Yep. That's going to affect rice production. So for those listening, if you hadn't heard this, in southern China, that's where they make the rice, and that is where they have had anywhere from 5 to 11 inches of rain in the past week. Some places receiving 2 feet of rain, and that's really going to be an issue for that river that runs through that area. So I wonder if we see more grain exports to China if this rice thing for production there becomes a bigger issue.
Wow. Wow. And I heard that the wet conditions, the generally wet conditions, fired up African swine fever in another location. And
I hadn't heard that. Okay.
Yep. So they're still battling that. Of course, they're going to continue to battle that until there is a vaccine that's easy enough to administer. But there's lots of moving parts there. All while it seems like China is doing everything that they can to tick off the U.S., and the U.S. is doing everything they can to tick off China, Naomi. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we resolve all this.
I know, and President Trump today just talking about how he doesn't think the phase two deal is even going to happen anymore. So I'm like, oh, good grief. Okay, so we're going to be watching weather. We're watching these news headlines. It is going to be a volatile marketplace, I think, over the coming months for sure.
Right. You mentioned it. I want to go back to it here for just a second, if we could. When we're talking about the corn for ethanol demand, I believe they took another chunk out of it on the old crop, but looking forward to the new crop balance sheet, once I get there, here we go. We do have that recovery back up to $5.2 billion. USDA for the 2019-20 is at 4.85 billion bushels of corn use, 5.2 for 2020-21, but that's still below the 2018-19 that came in at almost $5.4 billion. That's a lot. If we can get back to $5.2 billion in the year ahead, I'm probably going to get booed and hissed at for this, but I'm just going to say I'd take that.
Oh, I would agree. And, you know, the thing, too, you got to really remember, you know, people are doing a new kind of mixed travel. So I think in some regards, people are driving differently and they're driving more. Like we're doing more day trips for like family vacation types of things just because we're trying to get out and about but keep our distancing. So I think people are seeing more of the countryside. A lot of my peer network have been talking about these longer trips even throughout the Midwest or trying to go out west with their families. And so I think you're going to see more of that yet this summer for those who are comfortable going out there. And then the school year, how the school year goes is the biggest determining factor.
Yeah,
as long as the school buses are going, even if there's, you know, mixed classrooms and, you know, you're in school for 1 week and not the next week, that still means the buses are running. It still means parents are running their kids to school. It still means that some parents maybe are going into work. Maybe one parent is staying home. But we are traveling. We are moving about. We're not shut down. And that's the key part. We're not shut down. We are moving.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, this is something that we've talked about on the show a couple of times is as people go back to the office environment, how they get there is going to change. Are they going to drive themselves and shun public transportation, or are they going to go back to public transportation? If they decide to stay away from public transport, you could have fewer people downtown, but more cars.
Yeah.
And more consumption.
Absolutely.
So something that we need to watch. All right. We're talking with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing. TFM by Stuart Peterson. We'll get to that bean issue with Naomi next. It's time for headline news featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing today. China raises its soybean and corn import projections for 2019-20. The Climate Prediction Center, or CPC, said there are 50% to 55% odds of La Nina developing in the U.S. this fall. French soft wheat harvest is advancing slowly with crop conditions eroding. China's currency hit the highest level since March as their stocks surge. The IEA warns that oil demand recovery is at risk from a virus resurgence like Naomi and I have been talking about. And China detects COVID-19 on shrimp packaging, suspends shrimp imports from three Ecuador producers. I don't believe it. Check out all that Pro Farmer has to offer by going to tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
All right, welcome back. I'm Chip. Got Davis with me. We're having a conversation with Naomi Bloom from TFM by Stuart Peterson. Before we get back to that, let's go ahead and recap how the market's closed.
Chip, September hard red winter wheat 4¾ cents lower, 452. September soft red jumped 9 cents higher, 534. September corn futures 11½ cents lower, 337¼. December corn dropped 12¼ to 344¾. August soybean futures 9¼ cents lower, 887¼. November soybean futures closed at 890¾, down 10¾ cents. October cotton 37 points higher, 64.17. On the livestock side, August live cattle futures 75 cents higher at $100. August feeders gained $1.22½ to 135.70. And August lean hogs 35 cents lower today, 49.87½. That is your quick market recap. Now back to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. We are having a conversation today with Naomi Bloom, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson, and going through the details and other issues that come up as the conversation continues with Naomi. Let's take a look at the bean balance sheet, Naomi. I just felt like what they did was unnecessary. And what I'm talking about is on the old crop by cutting the residual use by 50 million bushels, taking it to a negative 46 million bushels, effectively adding that much back to the supply side of things. I haven't seen the need to do that. And this is that's the kind of thing that I watch for, Naomi. I look for that kind of stuff, and I didn't think it was that necessary.
No, it was very creative. Very creative indeed. So, you know, and I would think that for the most part, with producers we've been talking to, with end users we're talking to, no one really felt like the final numbers from the 2019-20 season were going to be, you know, upper discrepancy. I think everyone felt they were solid. So this is saying that, you know, they're going to be adjusting that crop number, as you said earlier on the show. So, yeah, it was interesting. Part of me would maybe think that, you know, had they not done it, and because they increased that crush demand for the old crop, the ending stock situation would have been really snug, especially, you know, coming in from having the acres not as big for planted acres when they announced it at the end of June. So even so, let's just put a pin on that. The weather going forward is still everything for soybeans. With the new crop carryout at 425 million bushels, there still isn't very much room for anything of a weather issue during August. If you have yield coming in at 48, which is just down essentially two bushels, you've got ending stocks that were at 425 now at 274. And that gets it really tight. And then if the heat actually does come in next week and then into mm-hmm. August, and if the yield is 46, which is historically still a fantastic number, then you got ending stocks just over 100 million bushels. So there is a lot of room for this market for soybeans to explode higher if the weather persists. But then, of course, in the back of my mind, if all of a sudden we don't get along with China and they say, we're okay, then, you know, everything is off the table. So you have to be, I think, prepared for both scenarios for why prices could all of a sudden slide lower if the weather is fine, or why things could fire up to the upside really quick. So scenario planning is really important at this time going forward.
Yeah, no doubt. And USDA is clearly expecting some recovery in the export demand for soybeans, for U.S. soybeans from China in the year ahead. For the current marketing year, exports at 1.65 billion bushels. The 2020-21 marketing year up to 2.05 billion bushels. So 400 million bushel increase there. I like that. I like that number. Mm-hmm. The crush number, right now USDA has got a 5 million bushel increase year to year plugged in. It was a 15 million month to month for the new crop balance sheet. But USDA right now on the old crop is at 2.155. They're at 2.16 for the 2020-21. That's not much of an increase when the biggest crusher in the world down in Argentina can't get its game together. And we could see the country, you know, we could see importers of meal, of oil, looking to the U.S. for some more product in the year ahead. Just something to watch there.
Absolutely.
Here's one combination on the balance sheet that I just don't like seeing this. Okay. I understand it, except normally when you get a 10 million bushel increase in production and you get a 45 million bushel increase in total supplies. Okay. So you've got a bigger total supply. We do have bigger total use. It's a, let's see, we went from 4.33 billion in total use up to 4.345. So a 15 million bushel increase in total use. So higher use and a higher price. Higher supply, higher use, and a higher price. How do we get higher use with a higher price?
That's
not how it's supposed to work.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, you're really right about that. Makes me wonder if by chance there's going to be bigger Chinese demand than we thought, potentially, mm-hmm. a scenario, or they're aware of the weather situation. But yeah, you're right. You hit the nail on the head. Usually you don't see that. Maybe it has something to do with the world-ending stocks. You know, the world-ending stocks came in at 95.08 million tons, and that was, you know, lower than what the trade was looking for. So, you know, there's obviously demand for the soybeans there, and going forward,
I think it might have something to do with smoke and mirrors back to the 2019-20 and that negative residual.
Oh, that could very well be. Yep.
We're going to watch basis. We are going to watch basis so close. Basis better stink. Yep. If basis doesn't stink with everything that's going on this balance sheet, then I'm going to call foul. So, I don't like
point.
It.
That's a good don't point. Like well, we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that.
Yep. The wheat production number, total wheat crop came in like 24 million bushels below the average trade guess. The soft red market really liked that.
Yes, it did. Well, the soft market, too, in general, that market has been finding some excitement here in the past few days. Wheat has been suddenly a hot item in the marketplace. The funds are exiting shorts, weather issues in Russia, weather issues in France. But, markets are responding and working a little higher here. It's been nice.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I would love to see some of that support. Even if it could have just helped to hold these corn steady on the week, I would have been more impressed with the market performance this week. Cotton, the new crop cotton carryover was cut 1.2 million bales And a lot of it has to do with a crop projection. They cut 2 million bales out of the crop size on cotton. It's been hot. It's been dry down in Texas, and they're reflecting it in the balance sheet for cotton.
Yep, and that cotton market, of course, has been just on a nice uptrend for the past 4 months. Today, looking at cotton prices, I think it kind of petered out because it was great welcome news, but at the same time, the market has been kind of getting overbought, and it's looking behind it like, is this for real? Do we have room to run here or not? And wanting to keep an eye on exports going forward, too. But yeah, welcome news for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, I can't let you get away from me without getting a comment on what's going on in this milk market. My gosh, August up another 76 cents today to 23.04. Wow.
Yeah, that milk market has just seen such a tremendous rebound after the COVID aftermath. To put into perspective for those listening, looking at the August contract, the low was near $14. Now, today's high, when it reached its peak, we were up at $23.70. So just a triumphant run higher. Amazing for the dairy producers. They've been needing something like this. And it's all because of the cheese. Cheese is just continuing to rally. The government buying program has been helping facilitate that. My husband works for a major cheese company in Wisconsin, and demand has been really fantastic in general. So it's a good thing. We all, of course, wonder, is this, you know, about as high as it's going to be able to go? Mm-hmm. Because we are, you know, retesting the highs from the 2014 rally, and so it's wonderful. But again, I would maybe have a bit of caution at this point going forward because it's overbought. And it's been kind of too good for too long here. So
yeah,
keep an eye on that.
Naomi, when you, of all the ag markets that you cover and follow, the one that probably demands the most attention from a risk management point of view is Class 3 milk.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So producers are able to use the DRP insurance as a way to help with their price floors. Of course, you can use regular put strategies. So if you're feeling like there's upside potential yet for whatever reason, then maybe consider a marketing strategy that would allow you upside potential but also gives you that price floor. You know, because going forward, it's going to be quite risky when the prices are this lofty. So one thing that we are hearing from the producers is that even though the price is up so much, they're not seeing all of that in their paycheck.
Right.
So that's another issue for them. The COVID issues continue. But, hey, better than where it was just a few months ago.
Yeah, and it's providing some opportunities that are much needed in that market. Naomi, it's always fun to talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Davis and Chip. It was great to be on your show.
All right. Good stuff. That is Naomi Bloom from TFM by Stuart Peterson. Davis is going to have the Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report next.
Hey. Oh.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Before we get to Davis, just a quick programming note. I'm going to be away from the studio next week.
That's right.
Doing a little fishing with the boys and the buddies. Looking forward to that. So Davis is going to take care of y'all. Make sure that y'all get everything that you need from AgriTalk.
That's right. You bet.
We love that. Going to get some help from Tyne Morgan, some help from Clinton Griffiths, Joe Vaklovic, and Ted Seifert.
Yep.
So
it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that you guys are looking forward to me being gone for a week. I appreciate
that. There will be no interruption to the information flow.
That's exactly right. That's what you get from a good team right there.
Well, squad's got your back, buddy. Squad's got your back.
I know it. I love that. All right. Let's get to it. The Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report is a service of Pro Farmers Inputs Monitor. For weekly updated fuels and fertilizer prices from across the Midwest and in your crop district, visit profarmer.com. And now, Chip.
Hot diggity dog.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. Shameless plug alert.
Good.
I just want to start by teasing next week's Fuels and Fert report. I've been chatting it up with a wholesale fertilizer market expert. I plan to share an interview with him. To be honest, first with my beloved Inputs Monitor subscribers earlier in the week. And then I will share some of those thoughts with you, the ever attentive radio audience, in next week's Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. Chip, I'm super looking forward to this super secret special guest. And if everything goes according to plan, I think my readers and listeners alike will find it very enlightening and perhaps even inspiring, dare I say.
Good.
So, listeners, make sure that you are tuning in exactly 1 week from right now for that. But let's get back to let's come back to the present day, where it was a very, very interesting week. Now, we've gotten an awful lot of mileage out of that interview with Phil Flynn, right? Talking about the distillates and all that stuff. What the heck was going on with the building distillates? Jet fuel, right?
Yep.
Distillate stocks are up this week, according to EIA. In fact, national distillate stocks firmed 3.1 million barrels in the weekend of July 3. Stocks are now 46.7 million barrels above the same time last year. And I posted the chart along with my fuels report on profarmer.com. But we are now, when we spoke to Phil, I thought, my gosh, we've topped here. And he even said it too. We've topped here. We are above that level by a good 2.5 million barrels now. I mean, this is, I don't know if it's a all-time high, but even when, you know, EIA posts the five-year average supply range, so they post the top end, the low end, and then, you know, where we are in relation to those points, this is well off the top of any of those peaks. Dude, off the high end of the five-year average range. It's crazy.
So you're going through all of this, and I look over at my stock quotes, and the Dow is at 26,080, up 380 points. To me, what you're talking about suggests that this economy is a very slow restarter.
Well, and especially the airline industry. A couple of notes, and we pulled these from Pro Farmers first thing today. United Airlines, they're looking at cutting around 45% of its workforce if this doesn't get straightened out by September, which is when their federal aid, you know, money runs out. 45% of the United Airlines workforce. Last week, American Airlines said they currently have about 20,000 too many employees. Demand for air travel has been super slow to recover, and executives from that industry expect the demand slump to continue for years. And so here we are. Now, I would remind, it took quite a while for the retail diesel market to catch up to the decline in, you know, distillate demand. Well, that's fine. And we're up a nickel this week regionally on retail diesel. But I'm starting to look at this and think, gosh, if we get a repeat of the demand declines that we saw before, or even, you know, a shadow of that, we are definitely going to find an opportunity to book for spring. Yep. And that's what I'm thinking about now, because we finished booking diesel for summer and for fall at $1.39 regionally at the low, and that turned out to be a pretty good call. It looks like there are going to be opportunities ahead. On the fertilizer side, let me just quick run down. You know, it's the new fertilizer year, and I did promise that we would look at year-over-year type of stuff. Let me just make it real simple. Our nutrient composite index, our basket of fertilizers, is down 16% from the same time last year. Meanwhile, expected new crop revenue is down 10% from the same time last year. So fertilizers are just a little bit better deal right now compared to that acre of expected new crop revenue. Anhydrous ammonia on the year down 19%, 28%. Well, both UANs down 15% on the year. Urea down 14%. DAP is down 16%. MAP down 21%. Gentle potash down 10% on the year. So, you know, we've seen lower corn prices over the year to the tune of about 10%, according to my calculations here. But we've also seen fertilizers in general drop 16% along the same time. This week, not a whole lot of action in fertilizers. Anhydrous is up $2.65 to $4.92.11. Some of my other big movers, urea down $7.83 on the week. now at a regional average of 366.79. Still a little bit overpriced on urea, but headed lower. Phosphates were lower this week, and I'm looking at that as an opportunity. DAP off 618, MAP down 746. And when I talk to this wholesale guy next week about the fertilizers, the first thing I'm going to ask him is about wholesale phosphates, because that has been a rodeo, and I feel like that might lead to retail risk. So get to ProFarmer.com, read the stuff I wrote this week. It's good stuff all around. Chip.
All right. Thank you, Davis. Good stuff, man. The National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook. This is for July 16th through the 20th. It's got above normal temperatures across the entire Corn Belt. Above normal precipitation through the Dakotas, Minnesota, northern Iowa, Wisconsin, northern Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. Below normal precip pushed off to southern Nebraska, Kansas, and Missouri. When we jump out to the 8 to 14 day, this is for July 18th through the 24th. The heat sticks around, above normal temperatures everywhere. The below normal precipitation pushes back up, covers up Nebraska, most of Iowa, pushing those above normal rains off to the northeast production areas. All right, you guys, I'm going to sign off for a week. You all stay cool. Have fun with Davis and the crew on AgriTalk.
Farmer.